Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, who was Isaac Aboab de Fonseca and what did he do? When Pernambuco, in the northeast of Brazil, was occupied in 1630, the Dutch government passed a law guaranteeing economic and religious freedom for all those openly professing the Jewish faith. The Sephardic community in Amsterdam took advantage of this edict to finance Holland's colonial venture, and Jews from many parts of Europe and the Mediterranean resettled in Brazil, where the community prospered until the area was reconquered by the Portuguese in 1654. Luis Esteban González Manrique is a journalist and writer who was born in Peru, where he studied law at the Universidad Católica Santa María in Arequipa. He also studied journalism at the University of Lima and political science at the International University of Andalusia. He spoke with us about the fascinating history of the Jewish community of Pernambuco and its capital, Recife. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Luis. Could you please tell us where Pernambuco is?
Pernambuco is in northern Brazil, northeast. It's very close to, well, close in the terms of such an enormous country such as Brazil. It's close to Belém do Pará, which where the Amazon River gets into the Atlantic. Near Pernambuco was Bahia, East Bahia, in the south. It was the first capital of Brazil, colonial Brazil. Then the Portuguese moved the capital to Rio de Janeiro, and then now is Brasilia. So they have three historic capitals. The first one was Bahia.
And Pernambuco is on the coast because it was settled a long time ago. When was it originally settled, and who were the first people who discovered it or who settled there?
Were the Portuguese. Pedro Álvarez de Cabral was the discoverer of Brazil. It was very few years after Colón discovered America. 1505, I think it was, the first trip. Where they said that they just drifted and then ended in northern Brazil. But nobody believes that. They knew where they were going and they settled there. The first inhabitants of the zone were Portuguese, but many of them were conversos. The Marranos were crypto Jews.
So then the conversos who originally went there, who you say went after the Portuguese discovered Pernambuco, were they directly from Portugal, these conversos?
Yes, many of them, but not all of them. Because, you know, the Inquisition were pushing them. First, in Portugal, there was no the Inquisition. But after a few decades after the expulsion in Spain, they arrived in Portugal. When the Inquisition came to Portugal, they had to flee again. Some of them went to Brazil, and some of them went to France and then Holland.
So, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, we know that a lot of Jews did end up in the Netherlands. Can you tell us how the Dutch got involved in Pernambuco?
Well, it was a history of rivalry. The War of Independence of Holland lasted 8 years, and it was a savage war. The Spanish invested all the money which came from Peru and Mexico for paying this war. So they really hated the Spanish. And then when they independence, they established a very liberal republic. It was the first democratic republic. It was in the 17th century. It's called the Golden Age of the Dutch Republic. It was the age of Rembrandt, of Huns, of Grotius, the great scholars of law, international law. And the Sephardim came exactly in this moment, and they became allies of the Calvinists, and they both hated the Spaniards. So they tried to take away from them their empire. They were competing in the same thing in India, in the West Indians, and there was two private companies, the East Indian Company and the West Indian Company. So they were fighting with the Portuguese and the Spanish all around the world. You know, the Dutch Empire lasted until the Second World War. Indonesia, which is Sumatra, Java, it was theirs. It was a colony. They held it for centuries, three, four centuries. And the fight, the rivalry between Holland and Spain and Portugal was at its height in the beginning of the 17th century.
So how did the Dutch come to Pernambuco?
They conquered it. They sent a fleet. 56 ships went and conquered. There were 5,000 soldiers. All that enterprise, colonial enterprise, was paid by the West Indian Company. The director was Uselix. He was a Calvinist from Antwerp, but the invasion was paid by the Jews. They owned 5-6% of the company.
So is that when Jews started to emigrate from Holland to Pernambuco?
Yeah, but in Pernambuco there were a lot of conversos, crypto Jews. They were baptized, but they were hidden Jews. They practiced Judaism hiddenly, but in a moment there was so much arrogance in them that they established a synagogue. They had a Sefer Torah, but it was not meant to be that way. But if they attracted the Dutch and they convinced their families, there were many families which were related from Holland, and they invested in the invasion. So those Jews that were living as crypto Jews, as Marranos, emerged.
So when the Dutch arrived, since they had, let's say, freedom of religion, then it allowed the crypto Jews who were originally there from Portugal to come out?
Yes, because the Dutch Republic established the first republic based in diversity and freedom of religion. The documents are fantastic because it was the first time that a Christian or Western European country established the respect of another religion as the norm, as established in the same constitution. Amsterdam was a fantastic city because they all not only invented democracy as we know, but also the most important institutions of modern capitalism, such as the stock exchange. The first one was founded in Amsterdam, and also the first central bank. So they invented the whole thing. And the Jews were very many bankers, they were traders, and they helped a lot to establish this institution that they moved to London and then to New York.
So then, if these Jews from Amsterdam arrived in Brazil, in Pernambuco, they found this group of crypto Jews who had come from Portugal. Were any of them related? Because there were so many Portuguese Jews who had gone to Holland. Did they find that any of them were related far back, or that's something we don't know?
Yeah, many of the last names were the same. Da Costa, for example, no? Da Costa, they were the traders, the bankers, but it's very important, the Hachamim, the most important rabbis of Amsterdam were Isaac Baoab, Da Fonseca, and Menasseh ben Israel. Menasseh ben Israel is very famous because he sent the first letter to Oliver Cranwell, Lord Protector of England, asking him to allow entry of the Jews for the first time after two centuries, and he allowed them. He got it. And they are both important because they expelled Baruch Espinosa from the synagogue.
So getting back to Pernambuco, Recife was the big city, right?
The capital.
Yeah. How many Jews ended up emigrating from Holland, do we know?
Not only from Holland, from all the Mediterranean. They needed Jews that spoke Portuguese, and there were many that in the Ottoman Empire, in Rhodes, in Salonica, in Tunis, in Morocco, and there were many Sephardim. They went to Pernambuco. They say that at the height of the colony, maybe half of the population were Jews. Around maybe 5,000, but 150 families for sure. They founded a synagogue which exists till today.
What kind of work did they do? Do you know?
Well, they were very powerful people. They were the owner of plantations. They were the bankers and the traders. You know, the bare business in the 17th century, in the early 17th century, was sugar. It was very valued commodity in Europe. So if you control the trade in sugar, you control the fortunes. And so Rotterdam was a very important port. So they needed the commodity. That's why the Portuguese introduced sugarcane in Brazil, in America. And they were also the owners of Angola, Nigeria, the Yorubas. They were the first Negro slaves that were carried to America. The Portuguese did it because you have sugarcane, but you have to have many, many, many thousands of slaves to exploit the sugarcane. That was the business. That's what the Jews, the Sephardim, were doing in Pernambuco.
So in Pernambuco, we can say that the Jewish community was very varied if they had come from all these different places. But I imagine that they made a kind of a cohesive community. What kinds of institutions did they have?
Mostly the synagogue. Isaac Baobab da Fonseca was the rabbi. He was a haham, but it was a very important institution because they responded directly to the governor, which was Johann Maurits van Nassau. He was a noble. He was the governor of Pernambuco for 10 years. The colony lasted only 26 years.
Why?
Because they were surrounded by Portuguese that hated them. They hated the Calvinists, and they most hated the Jews because they considered them traitors. They helped Holland take over all the colonies, so they were traitors to their faith because they became Jews again and betrayers to the crown of the Portuguese crown. So they caught many of them. Every one of them that was baptized, they were killed. They were executed for treason. The Jews who came from Holland were liberated. They were allowed to flee. And 23 of them went to New Amsterdam. They were the founding fathers of American Jewry. They were all Sephardim.
Tell us a little bit about them. When did they go to New Amsterdam, and what did they do once they got there?
They were fleeing. They took a ship which landed first in Barbados and then in Jamaica. And Jamaica was a Spanish possession in that time. There was a big lobby from the Jews in Amsterdam to allow them to continue their trip. And they arrived in which is today Manhattan, and they were received by the first Jew that was in New York, a Polish Jew called Sam Simon, something like that, and he received them. The governor of New Amsterdam was Peter Stuyvesant, which he hated all Jews also because he was governor in Curaçao. So when they arrived, he wanted to expel them, but he couldn't because the West India Company protected them again. So they could stay. Nobody knows. Well, I have some of them were very... One of them was a trader of furs in the Delaware, and another was bankers, and they had an excellent reception, and they thrived. The first synagogue in New York is Sharit Israel, but all the Jewry in the 13 colonies, when there were English colonies, were mostly Portuguese, Sephardic Jews, most of them. The Ashkenazim started to arrive in the late 18th century, so that's why the Sharit synagogue was with a Sephardic ritual all around until the 19th century, and the Ashkenazim respected that because they were the founding fathers.
So you said 23 of them went to New Amsterdam. Where did the rest of them go?
Most went back to Holland, but only for a very brief time because they went back to to America. All these Jewish communities in the Caribbean, in Curaçao, Aruba, which were Dutch or English possessions, in Jamaica and Bahamas, they were all the synagogues were founded in 17th century, and they were all Sephardim. They exist some in Paramaribo, in Suriname, and two of them, those da Costa, and there is a man called Isaac Cohen Nasi. He still lives there, and he lives in Paramaribo. He's descendant of David Nasi, which was companion of Isaac da Fonseca in Pernambuco.
What about now? Is there still a Jewish community in Recife, and if so, how big
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, the synagogue has the same name, Rock of Israel. I don't remember the name in Hebrew, but it has the same name, but there are no more Sephardim in Brazil, I think. Most of them are Ashkenazim.
Okay, is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Now, it's a fantastic story. Not many people know this story. So it was discovered by an Ashkenazim scholar, which is called Arnold Wisnitzer. He was in the early 40s in Brazil. I think he discovered what happened in Pernambuco. His discoveries of the first Jewish community in the New World was a landmark. You know, the most important prize of Jewish history in Israel is the Arnold Wisnitzer Jewish History. And one of the winners of the Arnold Wisnitzer Prize is called Joseph Kaplan. He teaches Jewish history in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And one of his most important books is a book called The Dutch Jerusalem. A study of the Sephardic community in Amsterdam in the 17th century.
Well, in Amsterdam now, they have a lot. I mean, they have the Jewish Museum. They have a lot of ways to learn about the history.
The Snoga, which was called the first synagogue, Sephardic synagogue in Amsterdam. The Snoga was a splendid temple. It was the capital of European Jewry for many centuries. It ended when the Ashkenazim became the majority. But it's a legendary time in Jewish history.
Thank you very much.
To you, Linda.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.